Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone. This is Donovan Bailey, and welcome. Welcome back to season two of Running Things. Just a quick, short bit of housekeeping. Number one, I want to say, I want to thank Simon Jane for being my co-host in season one. Simon's going off to do bigger and greater things. And when you see Simon or hear of him doing any great projects, I'm hoping that you all go out and support him. But on to bigger and better things right now. I want to introduce my new co-host, a man that's very, very popular and very well known in the sporting community, definitely in Canada. My good brethren, Jason Portuondo. Jason, welcome.
Appreciate it. And the first time you told me about this, I was like, a chance to work with a living legend, icon, Hall of Famer, racing greatness. I can't say no.
Oh, geez.
But
thank
this,
you, man.
This is not about, but you know, as you know, this is not about work. This is about friendship, family, you know, brotherhood.
Absolutely.
I appreciate this opportunity. And by the way, even Tom Brady followed in somebody's footsteps, and he's made it okay since, right? So
I believe Tom is doing all right.
All right, yeah. Believe,
and I think that we're going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. We have gone on this road a few times, so I'm pretty happy and well aware of the great things that we have in the future.
Looking forward to Running Things with Donovan Bailey.
Run Things, absolutely.
Big shout out to ACAS powering this in every episode. So usually you like to start out kind of lighthearted, but let's just hit it right off the top. You being black, me being black, racism is something we've both dealt with.
Absolutely.
And it will never go away, but it's hard to fathom that we are in 2022 and it's still very relevant.
Well, you know what? You know what? Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that's actually where we are. I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, obviously let's touch on the Subban family.
Yeah,
Let's touch on that because, again, starting season two, I would be remiss if I didn't at least start on that. One, it is extremely important to listen to people who are living life through the lens that they see through, and I think the Subban family, how they've handled the racism that they've been dealt in the hockey world is something that I think most people should look at as what class and culture looks like. You know, an amazing family, amazing hockey family, but more importantly, you know, you see PK get out there and he's playing, and first of all, he's doing all the right things on the ice. And doing all the right things off the ice. And I, you know, I saw an interview with him the other day, and I'm saying to the eloquence in which he's speaking to the media and speaking to the public about what it is that should be happening and the help that we need. And the fact that, you know, systematic racism still exists, you know, institutional racism still exists, and just blatant racism still exists is something that, as you said, Jason, we should not be dealing with this in 2022. And ultimately, I think that, you know, I use my platform to at least speak against it. You use your platform. PK uses platform. And I definitely have to commend the people that continue to highlight the other people out there who feel that they are bigger and better than anybody else.
Backstory. those of you who don't know the situation, we're talking ECHL, East Coast Hockey League. Now, PK's got a couple of brothers that are hockey players as well. Malcolm plays net for the Buffalo Sabres. We're talking about the youngest of the PK family, this being Jordan Subban, plays for Carolina, was taking on Jacksonville, the Icemen. Bit of a melee, bit of a scrum, ended up having a fight. And one of the players from Jacksonville, a defenseman by the name of Jacob Panetta,
remember that name,
did what he said was like a muscle man pose.
Okay.
But that's not the way Jordan and many others interpreted it. It was more of a monkey type of movement. Obviously, a racial gesture. And this is what set off Jordan.
Absolutely.
And it was great to see that his teammates had his back. I can tell you, as a result of this, he is now off the team. He's no longer part of that team. He's off the squad. And they're continuing to look into this. But you spoke of PK being a black man. It's even harder when you're a black man playing a predominantly white sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's a couple of things that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. We live in a time where every single person with a smartphone is a journalist.
Right.
Technology, you know, surrounds us. And I can't understand that if someone is actually making any sort of gesture or speaking or sending a tweet out or doing some sort of Instagram post, that they themselves are that big of idiots that they don't really understand that this has been recorded somewhere. So, yes, I mean, you know, I don't understand in this day and age why it is that one, you do something stupid and then you're trying to make an excuse. Now, at the end of the day, you are going to pay the piper, man. And that's really what it is. And again, the eloquence in which the family has dealt with it, I really love that. And also, we must, commend the media at large who are carrying this and understanding that there's a need for conversation. That's number one for me. It's always been the case. Jason, you lived through those lens. You certainly mm-hmm. have. I'm very certain that you have 100 stories during your lifetime of people, denying you or looking at you differently because of what you look like. And, you know, certainly I'm no different.
Teflon. Absolutely. Gotta be it. Just let it slide. Well, just let it slide.
It's great. I think it also becomes cultural. I think when I said the Subban family early, I think that the cliche story and this is the cliche story that I think that a whole lot of the average normal society, we'll say normal, and I'll put that in brackets, society, is that the cliche black family is that there's a mom that's wayward and a dad who is not at home. And, you know, I came from a family just like the Subban family. And that's what I'm saying about strength. You had a mother who would die for her children, and you had a father who would kill for his children. And so you just want the very best for those kids. So you teach them manners and respect. And that's and one of the things I've always said about those kids, as I would, about a lot of my friends and the parents that I see them, the parents that I see them from, is that there's structure and manners and respect. And that's why that's why there's always a massive level of success with these people. I mean, the cliche family is not, wayward, but the structure that's instilled with people, especially those from the Caribbean.
So not everybody's like the Cosbys? You're trying to tell me that it doesn't just work like that?
Well, I mean, not everybody is like the Cosbys. Are they? But that's another story. I thought Bill was pretty funny back in there, but there's been some issues since then, right?
But on a serious tip now, you competed in a sport where you saw other black athletes.
Right.
Hockey, it's getting there, but it's not there yet. So what would your message be as a professional athlete to young men, young women that are of color that want to play in the NHL, want to play in a women's professional hockey league, and are going to face things like this? What would your message be to them on how to stay resilient?
Well, my message has always been to kids, number one, you have to, the characteristics that you're going to have to succeed are the exact same: hard work, discipline, okay, focus, You got to have manners. You got to have respect. You got to pay homage to the people that were there before you. Now, when I think of hockey, I actually can relate to, you know, I'd pick up the phone and I'd call my good friend, Ansa Carter, and then I'd call Kevin Weeks. You know, I'd call a couple of the guys who know the sport, who've also been through like wars.
Right.
And they got to the top of their game. So one of the great things is that I know I have a network of incredible athletes my age that I can call to and speak to those kids. So anyone that's playing hockey, definitely look out for someone like Kevin Weeks, who is still a success to this day and continues to be. Anson is still a success. Look at someone like PK Subban, who is actually doing amazing things on and off and on and off the rink. And for me, as an athlete, I competed in an individual sport.
Right.
So in order for me to be successful, believe me, there should not be and cannot be any lack of self-esteem. So it's very important for you to surround yourself with the greatest people, work hard, understand what you need to get done, figure out, surround yourself with the great people, work hard and have great teammates and great coaches, support those people, and you'll be just fine.
Yes or no question. Did you ever get to a point where you nearly cracked because of something somebody either said to you, wrote to you, threatened you, whatever, because of color?
Absolutely, Jason. Okay. That happens.
I said yes or no. I don't believe absolutely was in there.
No, wait. Hold on. Okay, fine. Yeah. I will not say yes nor no. I'll say absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
That's the end.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. And you mentioned Anson Carter. Let's tie it up by saying he's part of the NHL's diversity and inclusion program. Right?
Right.
So it's great to see the NHL. I think $5 million they put towards it last year. They're working on it. They realize they have a problem. And oh, by the way, on the heels of this, in the AHL, same sort of thing happened recently.
Right.
Player was suspended some 30 games or something.
Dude,
like that.
But the thing is, I hear this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a couple of friends that that their daughters and sons play.
Right.
And like, I'm talking about like 12 to 14 year old kids. And I didn't really understand that kids
yeah.
are still being
and kids don't see color, by the way.
And the kids are awesome because they don't see, they want to just play the sport and go hang out with their friends. I didn't realize that kids are still being called the N-word today, 2022.
Right.
Kids, children, our children. That's nuts.
By the way, that word also used as part of that scene in Jacksonville, that game versus South Carolina.
That's absurd, man.
Let's talk a little football. And there's a lot to digest. Obviously, we've now reached the conference round. We're down to the final four. But let's back things up a little bit. Because January, known for a lot of things.
Right.
Mental health being one of them. And
yeah.
Antonio Brown. Obviously, there's a lot more going on than just what you see on the surface. Phenomenal athlete.
Right. But
when you see someone quit on their team in the middle of a game and the way he did it, something just not right.
You know, I've spoken about this and certainly a lot of my friends and I have spoken about it. I don't know Antonio Brown.
Right.
I've never met him, never met the man. But clearly, I mean, I can read and I can watch. But a couple of things that I don't like. Yes, there are a lot of things happening with him, but I don't like a player to quit on his team, right? I just how he walked off,
mm-hmm.
I did not like that. Especially, he's been in a few situations, and I think that the great Tom Brady kind of said, come into the fold, whatever it is that happened with you before. All you got to do is catch the ball, man. Play football, catch the ball. Now, whatever happened, again, I do not know. I haven't gotten to Jason, you probably will get deeper in the story than I will. But I'm saying to you, quitting on your team is not a good thing, right? That's number one.
Right.
And I think that, I've read later so that was not cool for me. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had said something like they want to give him a couple $100,000 to kind of take care of his mental health. One, I think he should take the money. Two, I think he should definitely seek some help and some advice in mental health. One of the things, as a 6'2", 220-pound black man, yes, our culture, we'll say, is that we are supposed to man up and not talk about our feelings and not talking about the demons and not talking about things that are happening with us. And I'm saying to him, if he listened to me, is that, you know, hey, it was not cool for us to go and speak about our feelings and get some advice. It's definitely cool now.
Right.
Because what we have to do is, one, speak about this to become productive members of society. And also, you know, just play your role on the team so that, you know, the team can win.
We don't have to dig too deep into it because mostly everyone out there realizes what happened. He was told to get in the game. He said, my ankle's not good. I'm not going in. Bruce Arians, head coach of Tampa Bay, then said, well, get out of here type thing. And he took it literally
and
left the field. And obviously we know the rest of the story.
Ouch. But yeah,
as much as sports obviously is a physical thing, the mental fortitude, the mental side of it, people don't talk about that enough, in my opinion, because you got to be mentally strong as well. Obviously, the physical part we get, but the mental side, and I'm glad that mental awareness now, mental health is becoming more, you know, of a headline.
Right.
Because it needs to be.
Well, it does, Jason. I think that the issue that sometimes people forget is that when you watch athletes or actually when you watch anyone that is at the highest, that is at the highest level of success, you have to understand, we'll go with athletes first, and I'll speak about maybe the track and field exactly.
Okay.
You're seeing at the start of a 100 meter, whether it's woman or men or whatever, you're seeing the greatest human specimen, physical human specimen that exists in the world today. That's usually what you see in the finals. Now, the difference between the guy or the woman coming first and the one coming eighth, a lot has to do with what's between your ears. And I think that when we speak about, you know, physical tools, we understand that there's incredible human specimens out there, but mental has to be number one. And it's the same thing that goes with the guys that play football. It might be the same thing that goes with a CEO running a corporate, running a Fortune 500 company. It's the exact same thing. Same level of confidence, same level of self-esteem, same level of preparationness. I mean, you usually, first place and eighth place is usually only separated by your mental strength and your clearly, your surroundings and your buildup.
Did you have access to guys like that for mental help? I mean, obviously you had physical and strength conditioning coaches, all of that we get, but did you have any type of mental support?
Well, you know what? I actually had mental support, but I'm saying to you that my mental support was unlike a clinical way where, you know, you go and see a sports psychologist. My dad was a guy that I could reach to and we could have a conversation about anything. And then, off the base of that, my coach and I have an incredible relationship even to this day. So we can sit and have a conversation. We can dialogue about anything. Walking towards the finals and it's giving me his pep talk. It wasn't necessarily a pep talk. It's a nice, calm conversation about the work that I put in. And now I'm here, so go get it done.
Mentally strong. I mean, I watch and I think of Tiger.
Yes.
Everything he and his dad went through.
Absolutely.
He prepared Tiger for every scenario basically possible out there.
Right.
And if you can do it mentally, physically, that, as an athlete, you'll know sometimes that's the easier part.
Well, Jason, this is what I'm saying. I mean, when I look at the relationship like with Tiger and his dad, I mean, my father was not at my track meets in high school, was not at my basketball games in high school. But believe me, when I got home, he was there. And
belligerent.
Jamaican
dad, I get you.
Dude, I'm telling you, I mean, and we know that he never missed one day. Anytime there's a student-parent meeting, he would never miss one day. But I'm just trying to tell you that my father prepared me to be successful in whatever it is I was doing. And he preached that every single day. So sports really was just another one of those things. So whether or not I was going to be in business, I was going to be in sports, I was going to do whatever. My father, my parents prepared me, to be my greatest me.
Brown got the last laugh, by the way, on the Bucks, because obviously they're now out. We're down to the final four, and that does not include the defending champions. You know, what we saw recently now as we move to the field, in terms of that playoff game between Buffalo and Kansas City, I don't think the Super Bowl won't be as good as that game. But it's the way it ended that has a lot of people talking about, does the NFL need to change its overtime rule, especially in the playoffs?
Man, listen, there's such an incredible weekend of sports. And yes, we know that it was the last person that got the football. The last team that got the football was going to be the winner. Right. I mean, I don't know. You know what? You know what's really funny? I appreciated the rule today. But I kind of feel that if Buffalo got the ball back, we'd still be watching the game today. You know, I kind of feel that there's going to be 50 overtimes with those two guys. And it's very, very clear that Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes, both of these guys are going to be, there's going to be like a, it's going to be Brady, Manning, you know,
part two. I don't know about that.
Well, hey, I'm just saying, I'm telling
you. I hope it is, but.
Well, I can only.
Those are some big shoes.
I'm talking about shootouts.
Right.
I'm not talking about accolades yet. I'm talking about shootouts. I'm saying to you that you got two young guys who are incredible at their craft.
Yep.
Who want to be even better at their craft. And I'm certainly looking forward to the shootout. But as far as the game itself, I was a little torn. I'm a Raider, so it didn't really matter to me whether who won or not.
I'm an Eagle, so
well then there you
I
go.
Feel you,
right? So it didn't matter, but the game was incredible. And I mean, I don't know what you think about the rules, but I'm a little on the fence because I mean I like the rules, but definitely Josh Allen does not.
I don't blame him. And if Pat Mahomes, when he was on the other side of that, he didn't like it either. Traditionists will say, and I get it, stop them.
Right.
First of all, it should have never even gotten overtime. You got 13 seconds left. You let them go basically 50 yards to set up the the game tying field goal by butt. Yeah. Anyways, for me, it's tough. I'm going to say they should change it at least one possession each, because here's a stat for you. Since 2012 in the playoffs, the team that has won the coin toss, 10-1.
Good.
10-1. So you win the coin toss, you basically are winning the game. The only team that was able to not win and then win was the Rams. I don't know if you remember that game. The Rams were playing at New Orleans. They lost the toss. Drew Brees and company got the ball first. Drew threw a pick. Rams got a Greg Zuerlein field goal, went on to win that game. They're the only one. So to me, when the coin toss, heads or tails, is deciding football games, I don't like that. I realize you can stop them, but I would just like to see each team possess the ball at least once, just the playoffs.
This is incredible. Listen to this guy. It's an encyclopedia, for God's sakes. No, you know what? Listen.
I didn't study this hard in school.
Yes, that's pretty good. But I got to tell you, I think that in sports and in success, there's always a little smidgen of luck.
Okay.
Right?
For sure.
There's always a little, I was in Atlanta. It was a nice day. It was 30 degrees outside or 80, whatever the conversion is. And it was nice fall on wind. That's a little bit of luck. It could have been raining.
Right.
Right? So I'm thinking that.
You don't like a sloppy track?
I ran in Helsinki. It was 55 degrees, my man. Ooh. You know,
that would make me run faster.
I don't know about that. No, that's not how it works.
Okay. Unfortunately, I'm a novice when it comes to that.
Right. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. But yeah, you know what? Yes, with every single sport,
right?
There's certainly a bit of luck. So I mean, the rule that's in place right now is for me, it's not necessarily a bad one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tom Brady. Should he retire? Is it time? How did you know when it was time? I mean, your sport's a little bit different because
absolutely,
when you're not keeping up and you're not running as fast as the others, you get it. Right. But Tom Brady as a quarterback, you know, a little bit different.
I am, as an individual athlete,
right?
Let's compare my body to someone like Tiger. It's an individual athlete. It's a non-contact sport. When your body lets you down, and you know mentally you can continue because, Jesse, you know this. In my head right now, I feel I can go out and run 9.6 seconds, but I know it's going to be 9 minutes. And I know it's going to be 9 minutes. And
I can run 9.6.
Exactly.
It might be for 50 yards. Exactly. I can run 9.6.
Exactly. So but what I'm saying to you, if, as an individual athlete, when your body starts deteriorating, when you get right. major injuries, when things falling apart, then you got to understand that it's time to pack it in. Okay? But Tom is definitely different. And you know what? Someone like LeBron is very different because these guys are just, they're treating their body differently, their therapy, nutrition, all of these things. Tom Brady, forget about how old he is. We don't even need to mention that. Okay. He's coming off one of the best years as a quarterback. And this and the game of football right now is geared towards helping athletes, especially quarterbacks, play the game longer. And Tom Brady's coming off one of the greatest seasons that he's had.
Okay.
And so for me, I'm like, yo, old man, keep showing those young boys what to do, man. Get out there for another year. You can't walk off like this. No way. Walk off, at least fighting for the Super Bowl.
Disagree. Not everybody is a Usain Bolt. Well, you can keep coming back and coming back and coming right. back and winning. I think Tom should have retired last year. Go out on Ouch, top.
Really?
You win the Super Bowl, go out on top. What more does he need? He doesn't need the money.
That's true.
His wife makes more than he does, actually.
Yeah, I understand. Well, that's a good... See, that's fantastic pairing. That's how that works. You know, Tom picked right. you know, what I'm saying to you that you, as an athlete, with the mind and brain of an athlete, you're always going to be competitive. I'm very certain that, you know, I transitioned back to business and now being in the boardroom, haggling about, you know, looking at a spreadsheet and, you know, talking about an IPO and all that. That's exciting, but it's not like competing on your field of choice. So Tom, I mean, you might be right, Jason, maybe you should have walked off after you won the Super Bowl, but I'm saying that if he has that physical competitiveness that's still deep in his body, man, go one more year and see how it goes. I mean, I'm very certain that he'll know when to walk off because, again, if he cannot throw the football, if he can't drop back and throw the football or scramble a little bit, got it, shut it down. But he definitely can still do that. So I'm saying one more year.
All right, one more year. We'll see. Not going to happen. He will not win another Super Bowl.
Oh, don't.
You heard it here.
Don't wish that on the old.
I'm not wishing it on him.
Nah.
I'm not wishing that on him. It's just facts.
You don't think that Tampa Bay has a good enough team to make it in?
No.
Okay.
So one and done. He should have retired.
Do you think that if Antonio Brown was on the field, Tampa Bay would be playing this week?
Might have made them win one more game.
Okay.
I don't see it happening. I could be wrong.
We'll leave it there.
I do know this. When he gets to that point, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, listen. That's
so we
not,
know that, right?
That's not. Listen, first exactly. of all, that's not exactly. even. That's not even a mention.
It was a mention. You want to know why? What's that? That's my segue to baseball.
Ah,
David Ortiz, first ballot. Boom, he's in. But that's not the big news. Congratulations to Big Poppy for sure.
Absolutely.
But Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, the door now officially shut. They will not get in. What's bigger news? Them not getting in, or Poppy getting in?
You know what? It sucks for Poppy because he's such an incredible baseball player. Mm-hmm. And he got in.
Likeable guy.
But I think, personally, that's the reason why those other three guys didn't.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Get in. You know, I don't, I mean, I think the rules of voting with journalists voting to get these great baseball players in the Hall of Fame. You've got to change your rules somehow. I mean, you know that I cannot stand. I'm from a sport where PEDs. Always the big news is PEDs, but also what they should focus on is that the people that have done it right. So Big Papi went in, he did it right. These other three athletes, there's no reason because of the numbers that they put up that they should not be in the Hall of Fame. You know, however, I guess the rules are the rules, and ultimately, I have to stand on that side of it. The rules are the rules, but do I think that they should be in? Absolutely. I think that here's the compromise that I would say. I think that these three athletes should definitely be first round Hall of Famer, and if anything, put a small asterisk beside their name.
Now we're talking.
That would be my compromise.
I don't know about you, but even if I took performance enhancing drugs, I'm not hitting 720 odd home runs.
Correct.
I understand. Now there are different uses for drugs.
Right.
It's not just about making you big, making you strong, helping your body recover quicker.
Right.
You know all these things. I'm preaching to the choir. I get it. But for me, I really feel like if these three guys were more likable, they'd be in. Roger Clemens said, hey, 10 years ago, I didn't play baseball to get into the Hall of Fame. I played because I love the game, to pave the way for other athletes, other kids who, you know, dream of being pitchers one day. That's what he spoke of. I really have a problem with these three guys not getting in. I could be wrong. That's just my opinion.
Well, I guess we're both agreeing. I mean, maybe we're disagreeing on the how, but I think that we're both agreeing that they do belong there. I think that these three athletes that did not get in are heroes to hundreds of thousands of young baseball players today. And ultimately, ultimately, if you're just talking about the numbers, I realize, again, there are people voting. The other problem is, Jason, there are people voting for athletes to be part of this exclusive club.
Right.
And they have no concept of what it's like to be an athlete. No concept about the work.
Valid point.
No concept about the work you got to put in, the nutrition, the fact that you have to live every hour of every day as an athlete. That's an incredible, incredible commitment. So you have to maybe change some of those people that are voting to put these athletes in. So like I said, if it's based solely on numbers, these guys should have been in a long time ago. Even if you want to put a little asterisk to say, we don't know how they got there, but they did.
By the way, Ortiz does have a link to PEDs. So I'm just going to leave it there. We'll leave it there. I can't believe it took this long into our first show together, Running Things with Donovan Bailey, brought to you by Acast. We finally get to talk track and field. I know it's not the year. I know it's not the time of year for it, but the indoor season is that much closer. Milrose Games at the Armory. We're going to get Lamont back on. Not that big dummy. We're talking Lamont Jacobs. We're not going Sanford and Son. We're talking about Lamont Jacobs, the fastest man on the planet.
Right.
He's right around the corner from returning as well. So as much as, yes, track is known more for outdoors, obviously.
Right.
Once indoors start, you know, it gets the heart pumping.
Well, listen, track is, first of all, I mean, that's the number. Well, basketball is my number one, but number one love. But clearly, I mean, for all those people that love me, they know me for track. Any time of year that I can speak on track and field, especially the good news about track and field, you know, I love and enjoy that. Number one, as you just said, Jason, the indoor season is starting. And last year, I mean, and for those of you who maybe don't know, the number one sprinting nation in the world is Italy, right? The number one
that just rolls right off your tongue.
Isn't that nice? Right. The number one sprinter in the world is Italian. The number one relay in the world is the Italian team. And
Forza,
Viva Italia. And I've got to tell you that, you know, certainly after the Olympics last year, I think that, I mean, Lamont knew, I'm very certain that, speaking of mental health, there's a whole slew of pressure, a lot of pressure on him after the games was done, because he was a surprise winner for some at the Olympic Games. And so he took time off, you know, with his family, went back into training, and he's returning. So he, in the next week or two, he's going to be putting it down on the track. I think he's going to be in Liévin. I think it's in France. I'm almost certain. If not, you know, if I can't stand to be corrected. I'm okay. I have no problem with that. But Lamont Marcel Jacobs is going to be running the 60 meters indoors. I think the entire world is looking forward to that. But also, Kristin Coleman. Kristin Coleman.
Haven't seen him in almost 2 years.
Kristin Coleman, who and this Kristin Coleman was suspended for a whereabouts.
Well, okay, so just quickly, the story. It's a 2-year ban.
Right.
They reduced it to 18 months, not because he failed a drug test, but he missed three of them within a 12-month span.
Right.
And obviously, you're responsible, you know, for what goes into your body and for, you know.
For where you are.
Exactly.
That's the deal you sign. I mean, exactly. I think that Kristin, you know, he served this time. First of all, I like Kristin because he's an old school. He reminds me of our old school track meets where where it wasn't about social media. It wasn't about, selfies. He comes out. He sees his competitors. He looks them all in the eye. He breaks them all down. And then he takes their heart out, and then he leaves. You know, so it reminds me of the good old days when that's how we used to compete. But back to the good news. Kristin was suspended. He did not take any PEDs. Clearly, it was a whereabouts thing, whereabouts finding where drug testers show up somewhere and he's not there or he didn't respond to them, whatever the issue is. He's back. I'm looking forward to him competing.
There's Brummell.
Trevon Brummell,
Baker,
who was the fastest sprinter in the world.
Lyles.
Last year. So you have the top Americans, the top American sprinters lining up in the States next weekend. You know, so I'm definitely looking forward to track and field, and I'm hoping and looking forward to, as you know, I mean, we can never ever have conversations these days without mentioning the two fastest women in history. For me personally, and the two fast women in the world today. I'm certainly looking forward to when Elaine meets Shelley again. I don't know if they're running indoors, but, you know, for all the track and field fans out there, please.
What about that blue-haired American?
Well, you know what? Listen, Shakari's an extremely talented.
She is.
She's an extremely talented sprinter. But one of the things that happened last year is that she did more talking off the track than she did on the track. And ultimately, you know, we talk about individual sport. Tiger can talk a very good game if he's on the golf cart, but if he doesn't do it when he's on the golf course, then there's no need for that. Now, Donovan, I can talk a good game when I'm off the track, but if I go on the track and I'm running, you know, 11 seconds, then that's really not a good thing. So what Shakari is in a position, first of all, she has incredible acceleration out of the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's going to be running indoors. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that she does, but Shakari versus Shelly Ann Fraser versus Elaine Thompson. I mean, and you know, certainly there's a couple others that are waiting and hoping that they're going to meet one of those big three.
Yeah, the U.S. has got some young studettes, if you want to call them that.
They've
got some nice young runners coming up.
Well, here's what happens. I mean, I think that I love America because of their commitment and patriotism to being the best and being number one. And I'm very certain that they don't like the fact. I mean, I had to face this personally, being the number one sprinter in the world, and all the Americans going, we're gonna throw everything at, we're gonna get every athlete in all 330 million.
You got the bullseye on your back.
You got the massive bullseye on your back, and you got the entire country going, oh yeah, one of our guys is gonna crush that guy. Right? And so they don't like the fact that the Jamaican women have been dominant. Now, Usain crushed their spirits on the men's side, and they're definitely coming back. You can see on the men's side that they're coming back in droves. There's so many great U.S. men's sprinters right now. And I'm very certain that the women's side, they're thinking the same thing. They're like, oh, yeah, Shakari, led by Shakari, we're gonna have, you know, we're going to have 2, 3, 4, 5. We're going to have about 10 ladies, you know, come. Especially the World Championships is in the USA next year. It's in Oregon. So I'm saying that the USA is certainly going to have a team. They're going to have a team to get ready to punish the world.
I can't wait. But I will ask you this question, because if Bromell, Baker, Coleman, Lyles line up for the men's 4x1, is there anything on the planet that can rival that?
Yes. I'm saying to you, as far as firepower, probably not. But I'm saying
from what nation?
We can look at the Italians, man. We certainly can look at the Italians. The Canadians also have an incredible chance. At the end of the day, every time you look at a relay, it's about one, if you win your leg and you're extremely efficient with the baton, then you should be able to get around the track. The unfortunate thing about the U.S., as much as, you know, they might be very gifted and talented sometimes, they're not good with the baton, man. So unfortunately, yes.
That is the most frustrating thing. Back in your day, not to interject, but I'm going to quickly, when you were passing it, were you doing it overhand? Like, I was always taught to slap it up like that, and you just go, but these guys are looking behind them to get it. And that to me is the easiest thing to do, is pass it. And you won't believe how many people mess that up.
Well, we were overhand, but also it's a level of comfort. The Italians pass it underhand. I'm saying to you that, the French team, way back in the day that had the world record, they also pass it underhand. It's a level of comfort when you're coming in the receiving zone, and also your teammate who is accelerating out of the zone. If there's a level of comfort where you know that you can come up on someone, they can get an incredible target, that baton can be passed efficiently, then we're good, man. We're good. I mean, I still think the Canadian team has a great chance. I mean, I hope that...
Are you coming back? That's the only way the Canadian team's got a good chance if you come back.
No, we've got an extremely talented team, and Glenn Roy has done a good job, but we definitely need... for some of these kids to step up. I mean, Andre is doing his thing.
Yep.
Aaron is doing his thing. And you know, we have several other athletes. Bismarck, you know, you got to step up. I mean, a lot of these kids, and they're talented enough. We probably, on the Canadian squad right now, we probably have at least four to five guys that can run sub-10. So I'm hoping that they see the World Championships in Oregon as their home game. And they can prepare themselves, get on the circuit this year, and then get ready, in North America. Listen, there'll be tons of Canadians that will go down to Oregon to go watch this. When I compete in Atlanta, that was as home game as I was possibly going to get because there was all of my friends. I mean, I had planes, trains, automobiles. My boys travel from... a bus, they travel from here. There's probably 100 guys, 100 of my friends, the women and men that drove down, flew down, you know, hitchhike, whatever. They got to the game. So I'm hoping that these kids this year understand that the border, the Canadian border, is not very far from where the World Championship's going to be. They take it as a home game. Their closest friends can actually attend. And they can do their very best, man. I hope that the Canadian squad is up there, challenging for gold.
Speaking of Canadians, and I realize track and field is all about the one, the two, the four. Those are the disciplines that get the spotlight. But Damian Warner, as a decathlete, getting the honor to be on Canada's Walk of Fame. You're on there from 2017.
Right.
I mean, what he did, to me, I'm not demeaning what you have done, but
there's not 10, talking about that. We're 10, not in the same category.
10 different disciplines.
Yeah. I gotta tell you this. So Damon Warner got the Walk of Fame Athlete of the Year. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's clear that, Andre won the 200 meters at the Olympics, and that's that seems to be covered greatly by the news.
Sprinting, for sure.
Yeah, the greatest athlete in the world is a guy named Damon Warner. The greatest athlete in the world. The Olympic champion and Olympic record holder is a guy named Damon Warner. Now, when I was number one in history, number one in the world and all that, getting the Walk of Fame or getting any other accolades that's supposed to be bestowed upon you, that seems to be a challenge. Now, I spoke out about it from way back then. And I'm so happy. I mean, the sacrifices and the bullets that I've taken, I love the fact that people understand that this kid is the number one athlete in the world, and every single accolade that he deserves, he should get it now, not next year, not 10 years from now. I mean, he is the number one athlete in the world, and that's never been done. And I congratulate him. Also, good kid. Certainly that he's going to get ready for the world championships also. I think he's definitely probably competing GOTSIS this year, which is, the marquee event for decathletes. But yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I love the kid. I think it's awesome. And again, that's one of those guys that you definitely need to get out there and support him anytime you have a chance to.
You're glowing. As soon as we talk track, there is this glow about you. I know you are a well-rounded athlete. You like all sports, basketball being number one.
Right.
But you just get a glow on. And you know what? It's just starting. Around the corner, the Beijing Games. It may not be summer.
Right.
I get it. It's Winter Olympics. But still, we get a chance to talk about the elite athletes on the biggest stage in the world.
Well, listen, I mean, the Winter Games is on. I think that Canada has put together, another incredible team. As a sprinter, certainly, I look forward to speed skating. That's just what I do. If I was a winter athlete, I would have probably been a bobsledder or a speed skater. You know, so those are the events that I look forward to. I mean, I'm encouraging all my fans to get out there, support Team Canada, and just support the Olympics overall. Clearly, I've got fans all over the world. So I'm saying to tune in. Take a look at some of these incredible events, and we cheer on the country. Bring back some gold, man. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll talk more about this coming up over the next few weeks.
Well, hey, we're gonna be. Listen, first of all, we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up episode one of season two. Jason, it's been a pleasure with you co-hosting this, man. I look forward to many great times. And, for you out there, stay safe, peace out, see you next week.